Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Public Relations Podcast. I know these are a bit infrequent, so I'm trying to get them out as often as I can, speaking to people and sharing more. And I plan to do more this year, but as you, I think you know by now, if you followed this show for a while, I've got a full-time job, so I do these as much as I can, and I hope they are providing some sort of value to you. Do let me know if they're not. As always, let me know what's useful, what episodes you like, so I can focus in on those to give you the best quality stuff I can give in the time that I've got available to do these. Now, one of the discussions I had recently on the show was with Helen Barnett, a former national website editor for the Express newspaper in the UK and now a content strategist. And I've been thinking a lot about what she said. We talked about a UK post office worker scandal. And despite years of journalists reporting on this, it took a TV drama to really capture the public's attention. So why is it that some stories resonate more than others? What I've tried to do now is to instill some of these sort of the points I got out of my conversation with Helen into this particular episode. First of all, I should say the story behind this is that basically some post office workers, or people that work in the mail office, in public mail offices around the United Kingdom, were accused of basically fiddling the books. That's the TLDR. That's not a legal statement. That's just a short way of saying it. Were accused of fiddling the books by a computer system that was monitoring what they were doing. And this involved lots and lots of people. Some of them were actually got prosecuted for it and fined and all that kind of thing. And journalists were reporting on this because they were basically saying, look, there's something wrong with the computer system here. And there was a lot of these post office workers who were saying there was something wrong with the computer system. And this went on for years. The great battle between the post office, the national organization, who were saying, no, this system is working great, and the post office workers who were saying it's clearly not. Eventually, this TV drama comes out, and it basically takes you through the life of one of these people that fought for justice, so to speak, in this case. And it ran over a short series, and it gained national attention. I mean, it was huge. And it caused the government to have an inquiry, find these people innocent, and start having to deal with all the court cases that had resulted from it and start trying to remove it. But why was it then that a TV show, why was it that a TV series grabbed people's imagination more than those journalists who'd worked so hard to try and uncover what had happened? This was something I was discussing with Helen. So I think there's a few things that we can really kind of take out of this. You know, as I say, journalists have been reporting this for years, but it was this dramatization that really grabbed the sort of collective empathy and the indignation of viewers across the country. So, as I think you know, here on the Public Relations Podcast, I really like to look for the strategies that you can pull out of real-world events. And that's exactly what I want to do here, because I think there's a treasure trove of ideas in this one. So principle one is show, don't tell. And I mean, if we think about the psychological side of this, you know, humans, us, are wired for empathy. We connect more deeply with stories that allow us to visualize and emotionally engage with characters. Telling someone about an event engages a different part of the brain than showing them the event, than describing it. So by showing an event through giving vivid storytelling, you're actually taking them on an emotional journey rather than a series of words which are trying to get across some kind of facts. So if you think about the application of this from a comms perspective, you know, stats, cold stats, obviously make great headlines. They grab attention. But what makes them then stick is the narrative behind that, behind those figures. So it's when we share those personal stories or those case studies or those anecdotes that it highlights the human element of the message. Now, they do need to resonate with the target audience. I've had discussions about this on the show before. So, for example, there's no point trying to reach a 14-year-old makeup fan addicted to short TikTok videos if you're trying to market perhaps a 70-year-old's book who's written a long book on life in the 1950s. So you've got to find the messaging and the language which is going to actually resonate with that. So the statistics can be the same, but the case study needs to be more in line with the experience of the people that you're trying to reach rather than necessarily the organization that you are trying to represent or the people that you're trying to represent. So, I mean, if we think about a couple of examples here, we talk about the sort of non-profit sector. So a charity aiming to raise awareness about homelessness might share a day in the life of a person living on the streets through a video diary rather than just presenting statistics about homelessness. That might be the hook, but then it brings into that story. Again, you need to find someone that is on the street who's going to relate, who is going to be someone who's had a similar life experience, but then things have gone wrong for them, that is going to relate to the people that you are trying to reach. It's got to have that sufficient connection. What about the healthcare industry? That's another case study. You know, a health organization could share patient recovery stories through mini documentaries, focusing on the emotional journey of healing and resilience, you know, the effect on the children, the effect on the family around them. Again, trying to make it relatable to that audience who are watching. The second principle, I think, is the importance of simplifying complex stories. You know, if you look at it again from a psychological perspective, it's this cognitive load theory, because it suggests that people have a limited capacity for processing new information. I know I do, so I must be human. I don't know about you, but a complex story, you know, if it goes into too much detail, such as an original news article that requires you to remember what happened months before, as Helen was saying, can overwhelm the audience, making it hard to engage or empathize with the narrative because you're just working so hard on trying to take it all in and remember what was going on. So I think if we apply this here, it's about breaking down the intricate stories or detailed stories into relatable, digestible parts and feeding them in a series when it's still memorable. People are going to remember the bit before fairly soon afterwards, and focusing on a single aspect or a character or an element that symbolizes that broader issue, as it's going to make it easier as well. So whether it is a narrative that runs over a series of things or whether it is just one small bit within a campaign. So, for example, an environmental campaign, right? An environmental charity or NGO could focus on the story of a single endangered species to highlight the broader issue of habitat destruction, making the problem, again, more relatable, more digestible. An education program, how about that? An education nonprofit, you know, might tell the story of one student's struggle and triumph in overcoming learning barriers, serving as a sort of a microcosm for the organization's broader mission. Next principle, I think it's principle three, is leveraging emotional triggers. We kind of touched on this already, but again, if we think about the psychological side of this, we all know emotional triggers prompt a psychological response in us, making stories stickier and more memorable. But picking the right ones is, again, going to be what matters here. You know, if I go back to that TikToker example again, in this case, we start to wonder, what would we do in this situation? We need to bring that element in there. What would we do? How are we going to trigger that feeling where we're going to feel like we're actually in that story? We're involved in it. We would wonder what we would do in that situation. So if we tailor it to that audience, we can then trigger things that they can relate to in their ordinary lives. The things that make us go, oh, that will then bypass our sort of rational emotional barriers or our wish to keep scrolling that feed or our wish to move on to the next show or to just drift off or get a coffee and draw you in. So it's got to be those emotional triggers. I mean, you're going to know your field far better than me, but it's that principle, finding that so that we can then grab their attention and pull them in so that we actually, they lose themselves. They forget where they are because they've had an emotional click, which has drawn them in. So if we look at the application of that, it's about identifying the emotional triggers that resonate with people that you're trying to reach, not necessarily the triggers of those you represent, and weave those into the storytelling. I mean, if we think again about some examples, let's take a local cafe, right? It might share stories of its founding family, emphasizing the love and passion behind each recipe to create that sort of personal connection with people that like cooking. You know, what is it? You know, it's like when you put the first raisin in or something like that, or an arts organization or something like that, right? A community theater group could share sort of behind the scenes stories of the cast and crews, dedication and transformation, the power of the performing arts, evoking a sense of community and belonging, and showing how ordinary people that just had a passion for arts, not someone who's distant or a celebrity or something like that, but ordinary people went out there, made a theatre work, made productions that people wanted to engage with. I think there's so many ways of doing this. And I think if you were kind of going to turn this into a kind of step-by-step approach as to what to do next, I guess the first one, if a practical application is, would be like reach out to your community or customers or beneficiaries to collect real stories that exemplify your message, that sum it up. You know, perhaps use social media, email or whatever, or direct interviews as a way to gather these narratives, these stories, these emotional triggers, so that you've got a resource that you can look into. And then look into that stuff and then identify those emotional triggers. You know, think about the people you want to reach, not necessarily who you represent. what is going to provoke that reaction in the people you want to reach? How are they going to connect with it? What's the smallest gap they're going to jump to get there? Then we're thinking about story structure, you know, thinking about the narrative like any story structure. So focusing on setting the scene in the first bit of content, introducing the challenge, exploring the journey, highlighting the resolution, highlighting the challenge as you're going through, and then breaking that up into your different parts of your story. Or if you're just trying to put out one bit of content, focusing in on that one bit of the story, which is that heightened bit of emotion, but it's trying to capture that story. I think that really kind of sums up exactly what I got out of my discussion with Helen. You know, it is the importance of triggering those emotions rather than just giving cold, hard facts. While cold, hard facts can be a really great headline and draw you in, you then want to hear the story behind it, but it's got to be a relatable story. I hope you find some of those points useful and actionable as well. I have summed up all this in the newsletter this week as well. If you are not signed up to that, then you can find out more details at thepublicrelationspodcast.com. And there's a page on there where you can sign up to the newsletter. It's completely free. You can get that each time that I get an episode coming out with some of the points that I think are the main points that come out of an episode. Quick reminder as well, if you'd like to help me test out a new platform that I'm trying to build to support the show, it's still in a very early access testing phase, but if you'd like to help me out with that one, head to prbreak.com. It's prbreak.com. Let me know what your thoughts are on that, what I can do to improve it or make it work so that it's something that really does help support the show and help keep this show going for many years, hopefully, as well. That's the idea. In the meantime, though, have an absolutely awesome rest of your week. I hope you're having a really successful week, and I will speak to you as soon as I have another episode. Have a good one.